wonder if you might pray with me and for me. God, that is my prayer today. God, that when tragic events happen, things like what happened on 9/11, God, that we wouldn't simply gloss over them, that we would remember the power of the effect that that had on so many. God, that we would remember the restoration and reconciliation that you brought on the other side of it. God, we do continue to pray for those who mourn, for those who lost loved ones, for this country, that we would pull together and seek to love one another as we journey together. God, as I speak this morning, I pray that in some way you would speak through me. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear today, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, and be present in each of our lives, in this space and in every space where somebody is worshiping this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said last week we're launching a new series today. We do series here that last anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, and we finished our other series last week, and we're starting a new series today called Biblical Lies. And I wanted to call this series The Stuff That Jesus Never Said, but I didn't want to say stuff. And my staff thought that might be distracting. So we're going to go with Biblical Lies, okay? Things that are said that people often say to try to comfort you, things that people might say to simplify things that people might say that make them feel better, but they hope that make you feel better, things that actually we never find in the Bible, but people want to use these things to try to make everything a little bit easier. So we're going to look at these phrases. We're going to look at 4 phrases over the next 4 weeks. And today's phrase we're going to look at is everything happens for a reason. How many people have heard that phrase said before to you? It's okay, everything happens for a reason. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many have said that phrase to somebody else? Right? It's a phrase that we often say because it brings us comfort in whatever the situation is. If something really awful has happened in our lives, we go, it's okay, everything happens for a reason. Or maybe if something really awful happens in somebody else's life, we say that. I remember there was a time I was really, really new in doing this whole church thing. And I got called by a family and they said, our 12-year-old son died last night. And friends, I had no clue what I was gonna say. No clue what I was gonna do. But I got to their home and they weren't there. They were at a neighbor's house. And I went over to the neighbor's house and the neighbor is trying their very best to comfort them, to walk with them through this scenario, to walk with them and say the right things. And their neighbor said something like, isn't it beautiful that God needed him? Isn't that exactly what was going on? Because you know, the neighbor said, everything happens for a reason. And that mom looked at me and she said, that's the least comforting thing anybody has said to me in this moment. Because if that's God, I can't believe in that God. Right? We use these phrases sometimes, we throw them out. So maybe you say, Tim, that's a dramatic example. Let me give you perhaps a lighter example. Maybe a simpler example. There were a few Christmases ago, I had mentioned to my wife that I wanted a toolbox for Christmas. And I wanted one of those ones on wheels because I was getting a lot of tools and I wanted to place them in. And I'd seen this one on some sale ad and I said, that's the one that I want. And Susan went into the store and she went looking and she is not a Black Friday, get up at 4 a.m. type of person. So she went a little bit later. And when she got there, this toolbox was no longer available. But she was determined, she was searching. So she went in and she talked to somebody, one of the sales associates, and he said, hey, I've got one in the back. So he gave it to her and it was 50% off. She was super excited, right? 50% off the sale price. So I get it and I open it up Christmas morning and this thing is all kinds of dented up. Like you can't even open the drawers, right? I mean, it's just, whew, it was special, right? And it's one of those moments where you look at your spouse and you go, is it okay if I return this, right? That's not a good movement for Christmas gifts, right? So I said, I want to return it. So I go in and I take it back to the store and they ring it up. And I don't remember whether I had the receipt or not, but it rang up at full price, right? Instead of half price. So I had a moment right there. What do I do? Well, some of us who say everything happens for a reason would say, that was just God's way of blessing you. Right? It seems ridiculous, right? Well, of course, I told them, no, I only paid half price, and I went and got a different toolbox. I didn't get that one. But the scenario is one that when we play it out, it truly doesn't make sense. When we take it further and further and further, we have this problem. I remember when I used to watch UVA football in person, which I don't do very much anymore because, frankly, it's UVA football, right? But when I would watch UVA football, I would pray. And I would say, God, please let them win. And what I would hear God saying is, I don't care about UVA football. It doesn't. And for those of you who are Tech fans, God doesn't care about that either. But if I believe this phrase that everything happens for a reason, it doesn't matter how hard they practice. It doesn't matter what they put in. It doesn't matter the team of recruits, because everything happens for a reason. The outcome's gonna happen. And frankly, when we dive deeper into some of these phrases and we drill down more and more, we recognize that the simplicity of these make us feel better and they just don't work. Now, there's a couple of big problems I have specifically with this phrase. A couple of really big problems. Here's one. If we believe that everything happens for a reason, then we have no responsibility in our own actions. If I do something that hurts someone else, there should be no consequences because everything happens for a reason, right? It's the way it was supposed to happen. It's the outcome that was supposed to happen. Now, this is a theology, a study of these things of God, that if my children find out, that's really bad for my life, right? If my kids find out that I believe everything happens for a reason, then they can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter the outcome. Now, the second problem I have with this theology, this statement, is that it makes God responsible for every bad thing that happens in the world. If you get cancer, that's God's fault. If you're in a car accident, that's God's fault. If you miss a car accident, that's God loving you and not the person who got in it. Do you see the problem with this phrase? It's a simple thing that we often throw out, but frankly, Jesus never said it. Jesus never, ever, ever said everything happens for a reason. And in fact, we don't find that phrase in Scripture. It's a phrase that in the church we have tried to do. So if we deal with this phrase as being fully true or fully false, I think it's problematic in both ways. Because if we deal with this phrase, God has to be one of two things. God has either got to be this micromanager puppeteer or an absentee landlord, right? God's got to be one of those two things. If this is the phrase being fully true or fully false, what do I mean by that? Puppeteer, micromanager. If we take this phrase fully, then we believe that everything we do is controlled by God. There's nothing you do on your own, good or bad, that God is like this marionette that takes you and moves the puppet back and forth, and there's no decision that you can make. God controls everything down to the smallest detail. Now, for some people, this is appealing. Some people like this because it's great certainty for them. Well, if that happened, then it must have been God ordaining it. But see, I can't match this up with the narrative that I read in all of Scripture. People make choices in the Bible over and over again. They respond sometimes to the calling of God and sometimes they don't. But if we follow this to the T and we say everything happens for a reason and God is fully controlling every single thing, then that's problematic. John Wesley, who was the founder of this thing called Methodism, said that just doesn't jive with his understanding of a God of justice and a God of love. That doesn't work, because why would God protect you and not somebody else? Why would God give that person that illness and not you? It simply doesn't align with a God of justice, mercy, and love. So what do we do with this phrase? What if the real answer is somewhere in the middle, of fully accepting it and fully rejecting it? I want to take us to a passage today from Deuteronomy. This is chapter 30. This is near the end of the time of Moses' life. It's near the end of the time where Moses is walking with the Israelites and he's about to die. It's his third great story for them, the third great message that he wants to give them. And I want you to hear what he says in this moment to sort of help deal with this to the people. It says, "Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for each of you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you'll have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to God, to keep God's commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Moses is helping the people understand that God sets before them multiple paths. They get to choose. They can choose a path that will lead to life for them and prosperity to them, or they can choose a path that will lead to destruction, and God is not going to make that choice for them. We as a people have to decide, do we choose a life that brings us life or a life that brings us death? What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about heaven and hell, and I'm not talking about you to do all the right things and you get in the right place or do all the wrong things. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I think we make decisions every single day that bring us life, and we make decisions that bring us death. We do things that bring us energy and joy, and frankly, we make decisions sometimes that hurt ourselves and hurt other people, that can lead to destruction in our lives. We do things that bring pain to people. When we're looking at a life that's focused on life, we're focused on the things that Jesus cares about, the things that Jesus pushed us toward, to care for those who are on the margins, those that are oppressed, to have life in ourselves. But when we look at a life that's completely focused on us, completely self-focused, completely focused on my needs and me and what I get and how I climb the ladder and how I get this thing, that's the life that Christ talks about that leads to death, that doesn't lead to life. And what he's saying here, what Moses is saying is, it's your choice. God's not going to make that choice for you in every single moment. Essentially here, Moses is saying, God doesn't care what cereal you eat. God doesn't care if UVA wins. God cares about things that bring life to people. Friends, sometimes I make bad choices. I was on social some time ago and I saw one of those road signs. I want to show it to you. This is what it says. I think we have one coming. If we don't, it's okay. Okay, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes that reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. We laugh because it's true. It seems harsh, doesn't it? But how many things happen in my life because I just made a bad decision? Right? How many times, and these are simple examples, am I driving somewhere and I'm late and I'm like, doggone it, why did this traffic happen? And I left late. Right? How many times have I said something to my child in frustration or in anger and then they respond with a tantrum and I'm like, why did that happen? Well, Tim, sometimes things happen for a reason. And sometimes those reasons are we make bad decisions. I know that there are certain things that if I eat them, I will not feel good later that night. Yet sometimes I eat them. Right? I can't blame that on God. I ate it. Sometimes I make bad decisions. Now here's the other truth. Sometimes things happen and there's no reason at all. Sometimes really bad things happen and we have no clue why they happen. We have no clue why somebody goes through the pain that they're going through. Sometimes things happen, and there's no reason. However, if we just throw this phrase completely out the window, if we say there is no possibility to the fact that God is involved in our lives in any way, shape, or form, that's where we get to the absentee landlord. God bought the building called Earth, and God said, good luck. Hope it works for you. It's like parents who leave their kids at home on a weekend. It's never going to go well. I don't care how old they are. Right? But to believe in a God like that is to believe in a God that has no interest in humanity whatsoever. A God that doesn't want to be in relationship with you or with me. And friends, I can't live in a world where I believe God created and then just left us to fend for ourselves. it doesn't match the rest of the narrative. If you start in the beginning of Genesis, you see a people who make mistakes over and over again, and a God who comes back in and says, okay, I'm going to walk with you again. We're going to do this again. Still leaving the people to their own choices, but to journey with them as they choose. I think the way that God walks with us in life is through the movement of the Holy Spirit. Through words that sometimes we get, little nudges that maybe we're not prepared for, things that happen that we don't know they're coming, little things that we go, why did that happen that way? I remember I had a professor in seminary, which is the school where I went to be a pastor, and he said, if you can describe the Holy Spirit in the best way, it is God within us. The way that God nudges us, kind of like my Apple Watch. Anybody have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or anything like that? My Apple Watch, once an hour, if I haven't moved, will say, get off your lazy bum. And it doesn't say it that way, because then Apple wouldn't sell many watches, right? It says it really nicely. It says, you haven't moved in the last hour. Right? It's a nudge. It's a little push. It's a little, hey, get up, move. And I feel like the Holy Spirit operates in that exact same way. My Apple Watch doesn't make me get up. Did you notice that? It doesn't shock me until I step up. It doesn't pick me up, although I don't know how that might be more effective, right? But it doesn't pick me up. It doesn't drag me out of my chair. It just says, hey, you might want to get up now. You might want to move now. Something's happening in this moment that you're missing because you're just sitting. Get up and do something. And I have these moments that happen often. This past week, I got a call from a friend, and I didn't answer it. And often, it takes me a few days to call this friend back just because of the way life goes. But I felt this nudge that I needed to call her back that day. So I had a 10-minute window in my day, and I walked in. I actually walked into the fellowship hall in here. She's a pastor at another church. And I said, hey, I've only got 10 minutes. And she goes, I only need 8. So it worked out really well. And she said, I'm going through something really, really hard right now, and I just wanted your advice. I wanted you to walk me through. And she said, I got to make this decision before 4 o'clock today, so I'm really grateful that you called me back. Again, I wasn't some perfect angel that came in and swept into her life. I just responded to a nudge where I felt God saying, hey, you kind of need to call today. This is happening today. And friends, there have been more moments than not in life where I've ignored that, where I haven't responded to those nudges, where I've missed things that are really, really important. So I don't think it's as simple as simply saying this phrase is completely false or completely true. Maybe you can say the phrase itself is, but the intent behind it, that God is active in our lives, that God is doing something. Look, I don't think for a moment that it's God's desire for humanity to have pain. I don't think for a moment that it's God's desire for humanity to be punished. I mean, Paul, who is one of the strongest people in the Bible, who pushes for justice for people to get what they deserve, says this in Romans chapter 8, 28. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love God, who have been called according to God's purpose. What I love about this phrase is it doesn't say God makes good people always have good days. It doesn't say that God makes bad people have bad days. It says that God works for you to have good in your life. When we respond to that calling that God has for us, to those things, God wants us to experience those good moments. And I think it also says that even in really terrible situations, in really painful things, and friends, I know there are people in this church who go through really, really difficult things. But the message there is that God is with you, to walk with you, to journey, and can bring redemption in a moment. What would have happened in that moment, instead of that person saying, God needed your son, isn't that great that that was God's plan? What would have happened if the woman would have simply said, here's one thing I want to say to you. I believe that God is still with you in the midst of this, as hard as it is. And I don't want to discount that, and I think it breaks God's heart as much as it breaks yours. You see the difference there? It seems nuanced and small. I remember watching, speaking of redemption, I remember a situation that happened a few years ago. A good friend of mine from high school started posting on Facebook that her son had a really rare form of cancer. He was 4 years old, and the prognosis wasn't good. A couple of our other friends from high school who hadn't stayed connected to her in some time got on social media and created a GoFundMe page. to help pay for his medical expenses. From mostly kids in our high school, they raised $10,000 for this child. And there was a lot of energy and a lot of things that were going behind walking with my friend Jen. And I remember reaching out to two of these women who were in my high school graduating class who had led this. And I just sent them a message and I said, hey, I feel like I need to say this. I said, I don't know where you are on faith. I don't know what you believe. But I believe probably in one of the greatest ways in my life I've seen in a long time that the two of you are demonstrating the love of Christ. You're sharing it with the world, and I've been so blessed by what you've done, by the ways you've walked with our friend, by the ways that you haven't tried to discount this or explain it away, but you've said, I want to be with you and walk with you. And I got a message back from one of them. Actually, I got a message back from both of them, but one of them specifically really hit me. I mean, it was a pretty long message, and she said, I want to say that the situation with our friend Jen has actually restored my faith in God and in humanity. She said, as difficult as it is to watch her son go through this really hard thing, it's been beautiful to see the community come around her. It's been amazing to see how people have shared that love. And then I want to read you specifically something she said. She said, and please don't, this is not about me. This is about believing in redemption that can come in a situation. She said, you may have just said the kindest words of my life, and I will carry them with me always. Thank you also for caring so much and expressing this to us, because a little bit of faith and love can carry us so very far. You've inspired me to go even further, try even harder, and be a better friend and a better person than I've ever been. Thank you. Now, I could have been really simple in that moment. I could have said, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. But I looked for the redemption that happened in that situation. Now, here's really good news. My friend's son is completely in remission right now. And he's doing really, really well. He's a healthy 7-year-old boy. But there was power in that moment. And I don't believe for a second, you know, some people would say, well, God brought that boy cancer so that everybody could be pulled together. What? What kind of God does that? That's not the God I read about in scriptures. But the question is, how can God bring redemption? How can God bring life in the midst of something that is so very hard, so very difficult? And how do we listen for the movement of the Holy Spirit to be nudged to do something when we can do something? Friends, that was a 45-second, maybe minute and a half message that I sent. I don't need any accolades. What I need to do is listen more often to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Because I do not believe that God is an absentee landlord. But I also don't believe that God is this marionette puppeteer. God says, specifically throughout Scripture, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will walk with you through the pain and through the difficult times and through the challenges. Friends, if we believe this phrase fully, then we believe that God orchestrated 9/11. If we believe this phrase fully, then we believe God orchestrated what happened at an elementary school in Uvalde. And I'm sorry, I just can't do that. And it's not because I'm trying to be simple, it's because I believe God is much more complex than that. So I think our thing for this as we walk out of this, my goal in this series is that we wouldn't walk around trying to give the simple answers, that we might worry less about our own comfort and more about others, that when we don't know what to say, we would just say nothing. Oh, go a lot better if we just said nothing. But that we would be willing to walk with people, with the movement of God, to listen for the voice of God and for that nudge. So before we receive communion today, I just want to pray for us. I want to pray for us to experience the beauty of the complex nature of God and to share that with the world. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Be oh so ever present. Nudge me. Be the way maker in my life and in the life of every single person. Let us allow you to make a way for us. And let us be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit. let us not respond with simplicity. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.